You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Be sure to follow us on Facebook and Twitter and subscribe on iTunes so you don't miss a single episode. And if you like the show and think we deserve a 5-star rating, and obviously we do, rate us and post a review. Also, although our main purpose in life is to entertain you, producing this show costs actual money, so please help out by going to patreon.com/GilbertGottfried and pledging your support to receive all sorts of goodies, merchandise, personalized roast, and shout-outs, advanced access to episodes, or personal messages from me, Gilbert Gottfried. And if we raise enough, maybe I can finally get a new co-host. I'm thinking of the Scarlett Johansson robot. Hi, it's Gilbert Gottfried. I'm here with my co-host Frank Santopadre, and this is Gilbert and Frank's Amazing Colossal Obsessions.
You know, I was at this event downtown. I wanted to say, I forgot. I told Frank this story. I was in an event. Tina Fey and Stephen Colbert and our pal Robert Smigel and some other people were doing something downtown. They were doing a live reading of a failed pilot. And so a guy comes over to the table and he says, are you Frank? And I said, yes. He's a fan of the podcast. Turns out to be a friend of Frank Verderosa's, Larry Kenny's son.
Yeah, who we should have Larry on.
Absolutely. And he says to me, my wife and I actually walk around the house saying, and my co-host, Frank Santopadre. I was flattered and terrified.
Well, they may not recall that it took Gilbert about 20 episodes.
Yes.
To get...
Yeah. You know,
depending on how far we go with these cartoons, Larry's probably in half of them.
I'll bet he is.
I got a tweet from some woman who said, her husband walks around the house singing Dummy in the Window.
That's right. I saw that one, too. Yeah. Another woman said, did you see the woman who wrote to us and said that we saved her life because she was driving over a dangerous precipice?
Yes.
Somewhere? Did you see this? Did they share this with you?
No, they should make that into a movie with Tom Hanks.
Some lovely woman, and we'll read her name on a few, we'll read it, actually, we'll read the email on a future episode, wrote to us, and Dara shared it with me, and she said that she and her daughters were driving. It was a dangerous curve somewhere, I guess in the Southwest, and she's afraid of heights, and it was hairpin turns, and so she put on our Adam West episode, and she said Adam's dulcet tone soothed and calmed her. Now, I know it wasn't Gilbert's.
So does Tom Hanks play Adam or Gilbert?
He plays Gilbert.
He plays Gilbert.
The Precipice, starring Tom Hanks as Gilbert Gottfried, with Meg Ryan as the driver.
Oh, I would live to see that. Okay, so where we left off, we were doing 1966 was a pretty incredible year for television premieres. And I was saying on Facebook, imagine living in a time when The Green Hornet and The Monkees and Star Trek and Mission Impossible and It's About Time.
Oh, yes.
All debuted like within 10 days of each other.
It's amazing.
It is. Unless it's just that we live through that, so we romanticize those shows. But we left off talking about a series called The Monroes.
Right, and you don't want to leave people hanging on The Monroes.
Oh, I think of this one was a quickie.
I felt bad about that.
Go ahead.
So The Monroes, 1966. Five orphans establish a homestead in 1870s Wyoming. Another one of those Homestead in Wyoming shows.
Yeah, so it was sort of like what? Like The Big Valley or...
Something like that.
But or it's got, what's the Michael Land?
The Little House on the Prairie. Yeah.
Barbara Hershey was the star.
She was Barbara Siegel before she was Barbara Hershey.
And I don't know if you know these others. Liam Sullivan?
Nope.
Ben
Johnson? Well, no, she was Barbara Hershey first. And then she saw a dead seagull.
That's right.
So she thought the soul of the seagull went into her body. Thus, she called herself Barbara Siegel.
Not Siegel like George Siegel.
Yeah,
Siegel. The actual seagull.
Yes.
Yeah. No relation to Jonathan Livingston. Barbara Hershey was a hot piece of
property.
A hot number. Piece of property. I should clean that up. So that was The Monroes.
That was The Monroes.
And how long did that one last? Because I barely remember it.
Well, let me see. I just kicked
the
over
the Swiss
to
Family Robinson was also a series with Jim Franciscus. Not Jim Franciscus. The guy from Helen Hayes' son from Hawaii Five-0, James MacArthur.
Monroe's disappeared into my phone. I guess we won't know how long
the Monroes lasted will remain a mystery until someone writes us about it. We're going to go from the M's.
And what was her son's name again?
Whose son?
Swiss Family Robinson?
I can't remember.
No, you just said.
Oh, James MacArthur.
Yes.
Yeah.
MacArthur Spark is melting dark.
No.
Oh, the sweet green ice seems flowing down.
That's a Gilbert callback.
Someone left the cake out in the rain.
Oh, no.
I don't think that I can take it, 'cause it took so long to bake it, and I'll never have that recipe again. Oh no.
You know, you're not helping us book Jimmy Webb.
that was your fault, Frank. I hate to tell you. You walked right into that one.
Set him up. The glass in my Oliver Peoples glasses just shattered. Gil, I have to talk to you about MeUndies.
Oh, yes.
They are made from sustainably sourced modal, which is a fabric that's twice as soft as cotton, and that's why, once you put them on, you realize why they're called the world's most comfortable underwear.
And I think if you have MeUndies, forget spending money on silk underwear.
Oh, yeah.
I swear to God, it feels like silk.
Very, very comfortable. It's like a pillowcase around your junk.
Yeah. And this is absolutely true. When the mic wasn't on.
Yeah.
And we were just about to do this. You said, you know, it really is good underwear.
I wasn't kidding.
And I said, yeah. And both of us right now, whether you want to think about it or not, both of us are wearing MeUndies.
Oh, I want to think about it.
Yeah, I'll think about it tonight when I get home.
I'm wearing my blue and orange stripes because I'm a Met fan and also a fan of the 64 World's Fair. Here's the best part. If you don't love your first pair of MeUndies, they're free. No questions asked. Which sounds like something Sheldon Leonard should be saying in a mob movie. No questions asked. And shipping is free in the U.S., Gil, and Canada, and you can save up to $8 a pair with MeUndies subscription plan. So not only are they comfortable underwear, it's a great deal.
And they're called the most comfortable underwear in the world, and they really are.
They really are. Get the subscription or a single pair. You get 20% off your first order, which is a good deal, when you go to MeUndies.com/Gilbert. That's MeUndies.com/Gilbert for 20% off your first order. MeUndies.com/Gilbert. Let's go to the ends. The New Adventures of Superman.
Faster than a speeding bullet.
It's the same narration as the black and white series.
Able to leap tall buildings at a single bound.
You remember this?
I remember there was a Superman cartoon that Max Fleischer made.
No, that's longer ago.
That's from the
40s. Those were theatrical.
Yeah.
Yeah, those were released in theaters. This, I think, was Filmation. I'm going on pure memory here. Paul will back me up. And I think Bud Collier. Do you remember Bud Collier? He was the host of To Tell the Truth.
Oh.
And he was also the voice of Superman. And I think this is the one.
And I, years later, I was on a Superman cartoon, two or three of them, where Tim Daly was Superman.
Right, right.
And I was Mischievous Pickley.
How do you say that again?
The way it was pronounced to me for the cartoon was Mischievous Pickley.
Mischievous Pickley.
Yeah.
Look that one up when you get a chance,
Everyone I talk to says it a different way.
Yeah. Was Bud Collier the voice of Superman on that series in 66?
Bud Collier.
Yeah.
Right on
the Some say like Mixelpick.
Wasn't the idea that, wasn't there something about the guy had some kind of immunity because nobody could pronounce his name or something like that?
What was the gimmick of that character?
Yeah, if you said his name, he'd disappear.
Okay.
Right, but nobody could say his name, so it was...
Sort of like the opposite of Beetlejuice.
Yeah.
Say
his name three times, he appears.
And I guess it all started with Rumpelstiltskin.
There you go.
But this ran till 1970.
Really?
Yeah.
4 years of this animated Superman.
Wow.
Now, who was the company behind it?
Is it Fleischman or so? Who did
Fleischer.
Say?
Not Max Fleischer. Fleischer.
Well, I don't think it was Fleischer.
It could have been the company.
Let me see.
Could have been Fleischman's margarine.
Could have been Nuco.
Was it Filmation?
Created by, Lou Scheimer.
Lou Scheimer, yeah. Lou Scheimer did a lot of those DC cartoons.
Jerome Siegel was the character creator and Joseph Shuster the character designer.
Right. Well, he was one of the co-creators of Superman. So. Yeah, those cartoons, those DC superhero cartoons of the 60s are the things that Robert Smigel parodies so beautifully.
Oh, yes. Right,
with the ambiguously gay duo and the ex-presidents and a lot of those things. He really calls up that school of where Ted Knight was doing a lot of those voiceovers.
Oh, that's right.
He did the voiceovers for a lot of those DC cartoons. Moving on, we're going to go through the ends. The Newlywed Game premiered. In 1966 with Bob Eubanks, which is interesting. Do you remember a show called Occasional Wife?
Oh, geez.
I like the title.
Yeah.
With Georgina Spelvin.
Oh, my God.
No, I'm kidding. I made that up.
Oh, geez.
This sounds like something she would have been in.
Oh, that day, it does.
didn't mean to excite you.
Oh,
Let's
man.
Let's jump to the P's and... this show, Frankie?
How'd you do, how'd you do, my dear? What a lovely surprise, nice to see you here.
All the bills have been long overdue, my dear.
File them under IOU. How'd you do? Well, hello, it's you. Love my dress, love my jewels, are they Marley-poo?
They belong to the Internal Revenue, and they've got us eating stew.
Well, I just gave away the title.
Sounds like somebody's takeoff on Carol Channing for a minute there.
Do you remember this, The Pruitts of Southampton? Phyllis Diller?
Also, I remember a title
one
like
season,
that, but...
30 episodes... Or maybe 30 were ordered. It says here 17, maybe 17 aired. Listen to this cast. Phyllis Diller, Gypsy Rose Lee.
Oh, my God.
The British actor Reginald Gardner.
Oh.
Am I keeping you up?
Yeah, yes.
I got John Astin here. Is John Astin?
John Astin, Richard Deacon.
And Marty Ingalls.
And Marty Ingalls. Reteaming from
I remember
Paul Lind.
And Paul Lind.
We
buried the lead.
I remember Gypsy Rose Lee used to pop up on the Merv Griffin show.
Uh-huh.
And she, you'd look at her, she was really old. And like, you know, these rotten yellow teeth and really wrinkled face. And she'd go like, you know, in my day... it wasn't taking your clothes off. It was the art of the dance. and I was watching this as a kid going, well, What, guys back then were turned on by Hershey Bells?
You made her sound like Broderick Crawford.
And then she started going, 10-4, 10-4.
Here's the premise of the Pruitts of Southampton. The Pruitts, a supposedly wealthy family on Long Island in the Hamptons, were approached by the IRS about overdue taxes, and an audit revealed they were broke. But rather than reveal this publicly and cause the economic depression which would presumably result, an improbably charitable IRS allowed them to continue living in the mansion and maintaining the pretensions of great wealth.
I'm going to have to talk to my accountant and see
what
if
premise.
There's anything to this premise.
Based on a novel.
You've certainly been maintaining the appearance of great wealth.
Yes.
He's got a lot of people fooled. That was the Pruitts of Southampton. And I should point out that that theme song was composed by the great Vic Mizzy. Of Adam's Family fame.
Oh, really?
Geez.
Yeah.
That seems like one of those, like, we need a theme song that tells the audience this is a comedy.
You know, somebody suggested that as an episode, as a mini episode, and we should do it. Theme songs that explain the show.
Oh, yes. Yeah. So my God.
We'll gather up a bunch and
a
do
it. A Bubble and Crude.
A Bubble and Crude. Oh, yeah. Or F-Troop.
Every one of them, Miller Boyette, was like that.
But also the great ones in the 60s. You know, the Brady Bunch and all the Sherwood Schwartz ones.
Yeah, that's a great
idea. Okay, jumping into the R's, the Rat Patrol with Christopher George. Mean anything?
Oh.
He was also the Immortal. We talked about Man on the Run shows.
Oh, that's right.
He was the guy that had the special blood.
Now, was he married to Susan George?
Nope, he was married to Linda Day George from Mission Impossible.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, not Susan. Susan George was also a quite fetching.
Oh, yes.
From Straw Dogs.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's see, The Road West. One of our favorite performers, Roger Miller, had a show that debuted in 1966, The Roger Miller Show.
Roger Miller,
Dang me. Better take a rope and hang me.
King of the Road.
Yeah.
We talked about him with John Biner, who was his buddy. The Rounders.
Trailer for trading rent. Room to let 50 cents.
He's
I'm
off.
A man of means by no means. King of the Road.
I love that song. Super Dave, that's the song that's playing in the famous Super Dave clip that we talked about with Bob Iger.
Wow.
He's got the piano on the flatbed truck.
Yes.
Let's see. What else? Oh, we got this one queued up. We're still in the R's. Here we go, and we've talked about this on previous shows, Frank.
This is Buddy Overstreet. He's wanted by the head of the most powerful crime syndicate in the country. In the steam room, Buddy overheard their vital secrets and the mysterious words, Chicken Little. Now he knows too much. These are the orders given to all members of the syndicate from one end of the country to the other. Get him! Get him!
Sounds like that's smart.
Yeah,
it does. Oh, my God.
And for a reason.
Yeah.
Oh, exactly.
Yeah. So that's Run, Buddy, Run.
Yes, that one I remember.
Yeah, starring Jack Sheldon.
Yes.
Who's still with us.
Narrated by.
That was, of course, Ted Knight.
And listening to that theme music, I think, like, that could have been great theme music for this podcast, too.
Yeah. Oh,
it's perfect.
Maybe we'll change it up.
Yeah.
Down the line, and we'll have somebody do something like that.
That lasted from September 12th, 1966, to January 2nd, 1967.
And is it about, it's sort of the same premise as Some Like It Hot, right? It's about a musician who witnesses a mob killing.
I can't get the synopsis.
Should have given Billy Wilder a credit.
And this was like a comedy version of The Fugitive and Run for Your Life.
Right. And the reason that music sounds a little gets
branded.
And Branded. And all the other Man on the Run shows we talked about. Leonard Stern, who was one of the producers behind and one of the brains behind Get Smart.
Oh, okay.
Created this show.
Now, it says here that Jack Sheldon was a jazz trumpet player and singer.
Still is.
Still is.
He's also the voice of I'm Just a Bill.
Really?
Oh, my God, that's right. Wow. That's right.
Yeah, which Frankie and I were talking about before. All right, Jack Sheldon. We should chase him down. Moving on, Shane, the famous Alan Ladd movie, was apparently a TV series, which I did not know in 19... I didn't know that.
Yeah.
In 19...
Hey-o!
In 1966. Here's one we did know, Space Ghost. debuted.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
1966. Voiced by?
Ooh.
We lost him. We wanted him for the podcast desperately.
Ooh.
Greetings from downtown Burbank.
Oh, Gary Owens.
Gary Owens, yes.
Oh.
And I believe Jace, I believe the boy character was Tim, young Tim Matheson, who would also be good for this show.
Yeah.
Tim Matheson. The Space Cadets, I don't know what that is. A little show called Star Trek, the original series, debuted 50 years ago. The Super Six, does that mean anything?
Nothing.
To anybody?
Nothing at all.
Okay. Here's one. T-H-E Cat.
Oh, was that with Robert Loggia?
Robert Loggia.
Yeah.
What can you tell me about it? Mr. Mr. Smarty. Now that you've raised your hand.
Well, it had Robert Loggia.
Yes. It was an equalizer kind of show about a guy who settles scores.
Oh.
Which was a little ahead of its time.
Yeah.
God, Robert Loggia, another one we should have gotten.
Oh, he would have been great.
What a character. The Tammy Grimes Show. Remember Tammy Grimes?
Oh, yes.
She had a sitcom.
Now, who was it? Did Tammy Grimes, was she in the original Saved by the Bell?
I think that was Haley Mills.
Haley Mills.
From the Parent Trap.
Yes, yes.
Yes. Sister of Juliet Mills of Nanny and the Professor fame.
Oh.
If I'm not incorrect. Paul, you can back me up on this. Why is all of this in my brain?
What are we looking for?
Juliet Mills. Is Juliet Mills the sister of Haley Mills? I believe they are. Believe they're...
Well, I'm on Tammy Grimes.
Oh, well, give us Tammy Grimes.
Okay.
Tammy Grimes was married to somebody famous.
Wikipedia. What does it say? What do we got here? Tammy Grimes. She's kind of cute.
Yeah, I think we lost Tammy.
Spouse, Christopher Plummer.
Christopher Plummer. There you go.
Oh,
wow. Plummer.
No slouch.
Also, Jeremy Slate and Richard Bell in sequence.
Right. Did she pass away, Tammy Grimes?
Born January 30th, 1934.
She's around. She's around. Oh, I apologize.
How old would she be?
35. She'd be 80, 81. Yeah, 81.
Okay, we'll call her, but let's not rush this one. When we've got a chance, let's get everything straightened out first. Then when we have a chance, we'll give her a call.
Here's a show we absolutely would be remiss in mentioning, and that is That Girl, created by our pal, Bill Persky. 50 years ago, and I posted it on Facebook, Tarzan with Ron Eli.
Yes, yes,
debuted, that
I remember.
In 1966. The game show Truth or Consequences?
Really? I would have thought that went back longer.
You remember this show? Truth or Consequences? Yeah. I don't remember that much about it. And last but not least, debuting in 1966, and this starred somebody that we were spending a little time with at the Nostalgia Convention in New Jersey.
Yes.
And he said he'd do the show. James Darren.
Yes, yes.
And Lee Merriweather was on the show. And what was the show? Created by Irwin Allen?
Was it Time Tunnel?
Look at you. You are a stud. The Time Tunnel.
If I was a stud, I wouldn't know all the shit I know. If I knew a thing about pussy, I wouldn't be able to name these shows. Or sing their theme song.
And that wraps 1966.
I always heard that women really went nuts for MacArthur Park.
Oh, right? Yes. Oh.
They get aroused at a Cool McCool reference. That's it.
And this has been Gilbert and Frank's Amazing Colossal Obsession.
Frankie, take us out with something fun from 1966.
Oh! Double O. C double O, C double O L, C double O L Mac, cool Mac, cool.